Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's April 2nd, 2025. Happy birthday, Mom. It's my mom's birthday today, so happy birthday to her. Hope you are enjoying this first day of Augusta Weeks, which I guess is what I've kind of come to call the two tournaments that are the Augusta National Women's Amateur that starts today down at Champions Retreat in Evans, Georgia. And then I guess the middle tournament being the Drive Chip Putt National Finals, which is a one-day affair in the lead-in to for the Masters. So we've got like 11, 12 days worth of stuff related to Augusta National. It starts today. Very, very excited about that. We'll talk a little bit about that today. We have a clip from Live Golf Miami news conferences with Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. I think you should see. It is kind of interesting. I think revealing in some ways. And then also some thoughts on TGL expansion. Then we got a fun little video for you at the end to kind of make you laugh, hopefully. It's been an interesting week on my end, and I'll leave it at that. But We need a laugh around here. So let's start with the Augusta National Women's Am. Starts today at Champions Retreat at Evans, Georgia, which is 20, 25 minutes away from Augusta National. I think people who have been critics of this event in the years that it has existed, which is basically since 2019 when it was announced in 2018, were like, hey, why are you playing two-thirds of the event not at Augusta National? And that has never really changed. That has never really resonated with Fred Ridley, the chairman of Augusta National, to the point that they've got to change the venue or make more of the rounds, two or the three rounds at Augusta National. They stop the competition after 2 days after they make their cut to the top 30 in ties. It's a 72-player field to have a practice day so that all the competitors can play around at Augusta National. I think that's kind of strange. I really would like to see it kind of go, if you're going to do this, you're going to do the two-round or two-venue thing, have the first round at Augusta National, a second round at Champions Retreat, and then just play the third day back at Augusta National. Something to that effect. So everyone gets a competitive round at Augusta National, not a practice round. I realize that's supposed to be a reward to play Augusta National for playing well in the first couple of days, but women's amateur golf at this high level has expanded, has gotten better, has grown internationally, in part because of this tournament existing. And I think there should be a competitive reward for qualifying for the event in that you get to play Augusta National and have it all count, and they got to all go in, and the people are there. It's not quite the same atmosphere at Champions Retreat for as fun as it is. That all said, Mika Gane went out there and kicked some ass today in Evans over at Champions Retreat. She shot 9 under par today. That is the tournament record on the first round at Champions Retreat and in general. The previous course record was Rosang 65. In 2023 when she won this event just before turning pro. Stanford product went out there and just lit it up. I mean, she had a legitimate chance. She had a par 5 to close. She wound up making par there, I believe, to shoot that 9 under number. She could have been double digits under par today, at least through so far in the round or in the totality of the first round. She's 5 ahead. Lottie Woad, who is the defending champion, still an amateur player. She, at last check, was in a tie for second place. And a shout out to Claire Rogers over at golf.com and the digital host for TGL. She had basically all the players who are in first or tied for second right now on her show for golf.com, Scoop, where they eat ice cream and talk, which is a great idea, great tie-in. And they're all playing well. Really interesting to see. I think you're going to see how Gianna Clement is doing. Number of American players that are probably worth attention. But the thing I really do like about this event is how international the field is. And every year I get to learn about players who are up and coming because they're not players that I see necessarily on the collegiate side in the United States. So there's a learning opportunity, and Augusta National has taken to heart that this is supposed to be an international event with an international flavor to it. I really do appreciate that and that they do that. And I really do like that. For as much as I wish that the Chevron Championship didn't feel in a position where it had to move from where it was as the first major of all of the majors, men's and women's, to go. Now they move to the end of April so that they can kind of compete on their own. I wish that didn't have to happen. However, I do like the beauty of kind of having this period of time, this 12 days-ish or so, to celebrate just golf in general. Have women's amateur golf, you have up-and-coming juniors. Some of those juniors wind up getting to play in ANWA, and you know, eventually someday we'll get more and more players that wind up playing in the drive, chip, and putt that find their way to the Masters as well. I do think it's interesting. I saw Meg Atkins write about this for the Fried Egg, that she kind of talked about that the tournament maybe hasn't evolved as people might have expected from that initial release first year in 2019 when Jennifer Kupcho and Maria Fassi put on a great show and really captivated a lot of people. The ratings have kind of come off a little bit from that, but still very, very solid. Obviously, people watching Augusta National, in pretty much any context, they'd watch us play Augusta National, and it would still be a pretty captivating show, right? So that's kind of interesting. But I would like to see a little bit more Augusta National in the Augusta National Women's Am. I hope that comes about someday, especially if there's not going to be, I think at the time people thought this was a pretext to have a professional women's event in some capacity at Augusta National. Obviously that's never materialized, and the club has said they have no interest in doing so, that they feel like they've accomplished their mission with ANWA. It's going to stay that way. And that the Chevron Championship and the other four LPGA recognized majors are going to be what it is moving forward. I wish that we were different, but here we are, and you kind of have to respect the business model of Augusta National, what they intended to do. They've clearly achieved that. All that said, I hope Meg Agané goes out there, gets her W, gets crowned for being a great amateur player that she has been her entire career, and then uses that as a jumping off point to go professional. There is an opportunity to use this tournament to create stars, and they've done that to some extent so far. You know, we'll eventually get there with Anna Davis and Lottie Woad when they turn pro. They're still relatively young into their amateur careers, and they're going to eventually become professionals that are hopefully instantly recognizable to golf fans once they make their way to the LPGA, and hopefully they'll be able to do that, even if that includes a stop on the Epson Tour, which I'm obviously a big fan of as well as a fan of the LPGA. All right, let's talk about the second topic, and this is a video component to it. So there's a news conference today at Live Golf Miami, which is played at Trump National Doral. They're going to play on the Blue Monster course. This has kind of been an OG Live event. Trump Doral has been a venue throughout the entire schedule, throughout the entire run, and it almost kind of feels like, in a way, one of their majors, in that it's a tough course. It's one of the tougher courses. The ones they played so far this year are very easy, so this is kind of like their first legitimate tough test. This kind of puts it closer to back where it used to be when Doral hosted on the PGA Tour schedule and kind of that middle of June, starting to tune up for the Masters thing as a tough test. It's an interesting week for them because now this is their first week being on Fox in a good portion of American homes when they're actually wanting to watch golf, not being surprised by it. What will the ratings look like? Will anyone care? Does it hold up against the Texas Open? By the way, the Houston Open ratings were great. People apparently love Minwoo Lee. The ratings for this year were substantially better than last year, something to the order of like 35-40% when Steven Yeager won, but Scottie Scheffler was contending. So maybe there's some Minwoo to it. Maybe it's kind of helped by the NCAA tournament not being as interesting because it's been a kind of a chalk fest, even though the ratings have been even for that. But anyhow, all of that is to say this is a big week for Liv in terms of their business, their viability moving forward, and really they're standing in the negotiations with the PGA Tour. If they go out there and have a great week, have a great number on Fox, Yasser Al-Rumayyan can come back whenever he feels like it, I suppose, and says, hey, that $500 million pity valuation you gave us, well, that's actually true. It's going to be $1 billion or $2 billion now because look at what we did on Fox. But doesn't seem like the Liv players themselves are particularly impressed by what they are seeing from the business side of things, and that includes from the new CEO, Scott O'Neill, who kind of got thrown under the bus a little bit in a question asked to Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka. So let's take a look at that.
Interest globally and in the U.S. and in terms of sponsorships, where do you think it's at? Is it just keep the head down and keep charging, or where do changes need to be made?
I'd say that's a Scott question. Scott O'Neill will take a stab at that. We don't know everything that's going on, but from what we've heard, there's a lot of positive growth and positive momentum from a sponsorship side. I'd say from golf course side. We're playing golf courses that are somewhat easier right now, and I think it's getting more difficult as the season goes on. I hope we can continue to play some more difficult golf courses, but as our fourth year, look, I mean, it's a startup, right? It's still 4 years in, and we're working towards what we've always believed in this league is team golf, and we're still individuals playing, you know, stroke play events, but there's a team component, which is really cool. It's another business vertical. It's another opportunity for us, and I personally like it. I'm happy with kind of where it's at. I think there's always going to be improvements, just like any business, just like anything, whatever side you're on, but there definitely needs to be some continued thought around what LIV Golf is doing for the global game of golf.
Any comment? Good. Yeah, I mean, I can answer it. I mean, I think we all hoped it would have been a little bit further along. I mean, that's no secret. No matter where you're at, you always hope everything's further along. But they're making progress, and it seems to be going in the right direction.
Guys.
So I think that's kind of interesting. I think that's quite different in terms of attitude toward when Bryson DeChambeau first started with LIV and he went on CNN in kind of a hurry and started talking about how great Saudi Arabia is and that they're misunderstood and they're being maligned by the media and blah, 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 blah. Now you go, what talked that new CEO about how things are going? You know, we all wish things could go a little bit better, but, you know. And then the tap dance around this is a new vert. I thought, this is a new vertical. It's really interesting because of how Bryson sees his social media empire, himself as a business, as an enterprise, which, by the way, he should. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. He should see himself that way. But what I think is particularly interesting is that it's another vertical for him in that context, right? Like, a vertical is my YouTube channel, my whatever side businesses, whether that's endorsements with Reebok or a supplement thing or whatever, and then professional golf, like a different way, another revenue stream, so to speak. And that's the way that he thinks about it, and that things could always be better. And, you know, you should say that, whether things are going great or not, things could be going better. They can always be going better. But then it kind of got led with, yeah, I thought we'd be further along than now, especially from Brooks's comments, you know, 4 years in, and we're not. That says something, right? But obviously they have a non-disparagement clause, so they're not going to say, well, this place stinks and nothing's gone right. That deferral to Scott O'Neill is kind of that part of it where they're saying, all right, well, you know, talk to him. Maybe he's got some things to tell you that could be good, but we don't have anything to tell you that could be good. And that, I feel like that's the stalemate we're in at this moment, where we've got the PGA Tour sitting over there. The ratings are going up from the nadir of probably last year. And starting to creep back up more toward like 23 or 22 levels, which is still down, but is better. And I think the threat of LIV Golf has somewhat been neutralized by the fact that everyone knows no one watches it at this point, that this negotiation has continued on for so long and has become increasingly apparent that the PGA Tour and its players and its executives are extremely frustrated with what they're getting or not getting from the other side on LIV. And that they are seriously considering just kind of letting this thing go away in the persons of potentially Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka, who may just walk away from LIV Golf at the end of their contract. Amy Lynch wrote an interesting column over the weekend to kind of talk about this a little bit and heard from an agent. I don't remember if the agent's firm was identified, but Wasserman has kind of been a big part of getting guys to come over from the PGA Tour to LIV. And regardless of who the agency is, the insight was interesting in that the idea was, well, if you do the calculation, right, and you think about how much money you can play for on the PGA Tour, especially if you have access to the signature events, I'm not saying the LIV guys would right away, but if you do, you have access to all of these, you know, $8, $20 million events you could have access to. You have access to a $25 million Players Championship. You have access to, if you get far enough into the playoffs, two $20 million tournaments in the first legs of the playoffs with no cut. Then you've got a 30-player tournament, which is effectively for $100 million. Unto that, unto itself, and that's before you talk about the major access that you get, the official World Golf ranking points that you get. And, oh, by the way, if you go back to the PGA Tour model, you can go get yourself outfitted with all kinds of sponsors, all kinds of logos everywhere. They're going to pay better. They're going to pay more because more people are watching. And there's less business apprehension about dealing with players who are on the PGA Tour that are playing on LIV, where they're pretty limited in some of their choices. So the calculation is, wait, maybe the money is now better on the PGA Tour, especially double, triple underscoring. We knew all along that LIV is not going to pay these mammoth bonuses for signing to their stars or really any player ever again. That was a one-time thing to create the league and get it off the ground. They're not doing it again. So if you do the math in the long haul, unless the Saudis change their mind and start forking out nine-figure bonuses to sign for the for these guys in particular, you're going to see your stars go away. And all of a sudden, all of the leverage goes away. Everything's done and dusted. And the PGA Tour has to do nothing. They give up nothing. They don't have to give up equity. The Saudis might just go, forget it. We don't even need to be in golf. Wasted enough money. We're out. Or they want back in. The PGA Tour has the leverage and says, well, you now have nothing to value because LIV is effectively worthless. And, oh, by the way, we don't need you. We've got plenty of private equity available to us. So if you want to come in, you're going to pay a premium. You're not going to get a board seat. Are you interested in such things? I think that's the state of play here. And I thought that was interesting to talk about. Now, one thing I want to show you before I forget, because we'll forget at the end of the show. This is a viral clip I saw today, and it is Matthew Stafford, longtime quarterback for your Detroit Lions, then for your Los Angeles Rams, Super Bowl champion. Apparently it's some kind of pro-am event, trying to throw Bryson DeChambeau a speedball, you know, a fastball with the football, and seeing if Bryson could catch it. I think you will enjoy this, particularly like the last second or two. Here we go.
Is he actually any good?
Dude, I think he could actually make it in the NFL.
One more time.
Is he actually any good?
Dude, I think he could actually make it in the NFL.
One more. I'm definitely going to isolate the audio of Bryson getting the fastball into his chest. And go, it's just too funny, man. It's too good. Anyhow, that's what I do with my days, apparently. So let's also get to our final subject of the day, and that is TGL expansion. So apparently TGL expansion is coming. There's some reporting out there. I think it's from SBJ. Don't remember anymore at this point, but that TGL is shopping expansion. We knew that. We knew that going into this. We don't know what form exactly that's going to take, whether it's going to be still be four teams of four guys, whether they're going to go have a women's version of TGL, whether they're going to have mixed teams, whatever that's going to look like. Don't know. Alexis Ohanian, who former or founder or co-founder of Reddit and guy who owns one of the owners of the LA team, he said that he had the explicit rights to a women's specific team. Whether that actually turns out to be what comes along, we don't know. But it sounds like they're looking at Dallas for another team, because then you could go after guys like Spieth and Scheffler and Zalatoris and pay them to get on board. And they're looking for $77 million as an expansion fee for a Dallas team. Now, you might hear that number, and if you haven't been following the business of TGL, go, what in the world? Wait, what? This thing that just started and gets 500,000 viewers per night on ESPN and random Mondays and Tuesdays, that's worth $77 million. And then you start thinking about what the Boston Celtics just sold for, which was, what, $6.5 billion or something like that. I'm not saying that they're equatable, but just start thinking about what sports franchises cost now. Think about NWSL franchises. Their expansion fees are nine figures at this point. They're asking for a lot of money. WNBA expansion fees, 10 years ago, not even, 5 years ago, you could have bought the Las Vegas Aces for a little over $1 million. And you now would have 200x that investment in the valuation of that team. So that's where we are. This is a kind of rich person's investment thing now. And it's a little plaything for them. So $77 million is really not that much. And apparently, to be a part of the group, the minimum cut in is $250,000, which, hey, maybe we want to crowdsource that. We can own part of TGL. Maybe we can get behind that. I'll see if I can get a hold of the the investor deck, and maybe we can all be Golf News Net LLC or Golf News Net TGL LLC and own a piece of TGL. We'll talk about that another time. But I thought that was interesting that they're already expanding, and those fees that were about $30 to $40 million to get into the league have already doubled. And that's kind of how this thing works. It's how the ownership makes its money back. The original people who take the gamble, they get it back with the new people who want it. And then it kind of disperses itself out. We'll see if there are TV rights associated with this. I mean, ESPN's probably got a contract for a couple of years, but the money they can make from this, they feel like there's something here and they're going to do some stuff about it. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like, how that changes the schedule, who's involved, all of that good stuff. All right, so a couple of things I want to talk about before we get out of here that's kind of more GNN business. We obviously haven't done this show as much recently, in part because I've been doing high school golf coaching. Shout out to Mount St. Joseph Gales. We are 5-2. We've got a match on Thursday against the best team in the league. Can't wait to see what happens at Rolling Road Golf Club. But that's kind of made it tougher to do live versions of the show. So we're probably going to try and do these either Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday, at least for the next couple of weeks, until we get through the month of April and the beginning of May, and then we'll come back to a five-day-a-week schedule. Also, we are going to be making some big expansion plans over at Golf News Net TV, and that's not just involving Golf News Net TV, the channel. We're going to have some interesting news I think you're going to love about in the next couple of weeks. Just a heads up about that there's going to be a new way to watch golf. Let's put it that way. And that pun is very much intentional. So we'll tell you about that coming soon. And then all the things to wrap up. Obviously, we're going to talk about Augusta National next week. We're going to talk about the Masters next week. That's pretty much the only thing that we've got to talk about. So check us out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you watch us there, Golf News Net. We also have a audio-only version of the channel, Golf News Net Radio. So if you just like listening to shows as you walk in the mornings or go to the gym or whatever, you can do that and you don't have to actually watch the show. That's Golf News Net Radio. Watch Golf News Net TV on our Roku app, Amazon Fire, as well as on Free Live Sports, Freecast, and Zeem. I think that pretty much covers everything. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you so much for watching. Spend some time with me listening to the show. We'll be back next week with another slate of shows. Masters is here. Can't wait. We'll see you next time on Two Off the First. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for watching.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,